Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Just wanted to thank Qari Dr. Muhammad Anani, Nafi Saab, for his for accepting our invitation for a second evening, and also thank Brother Sultan from Ethar Relief for giving us the opportunity to host the Sheikh and facilitating it for us as well. Jazakallah khairun on behalf of the Masjid and all the Musallis, inshallah. Jazakallah.
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر Allah الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Thank you. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Tonight we recited the 28th juz of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here starts with Surah Mujadala. Mujadala is the lady who complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard her. This lady's name was Khawla radiallahu anha, and she had a complaint that her husband had divorced her. Whereas when she was young, while she was beautiful, she was there and served her husband. And now when she was old, then he divorced her and was planning to leave her. So she goes and she complains to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when she went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to complain, her tone of voice was very low. She was not speaking loudly and she wasn't complaining loudly. But Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha narrating the story, she says this lady was in the next door room. We know Rasulullah's house wasn't big. She says this lady was in the next door room talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I couldn't hear what she was saying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above the seven heavens says, Qad sami'a Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard her complaint. Why? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, go back, be patient. Go back, be patient, it happens over now. But she wasn't happy with that decision. So her complaint was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Aisha says, even though I was next door, I couldn't hear her complaint. But her complaint was heard in the heavens. At another time, Umar radiallahu anhu in his khilafat, the same lady comes to Umar radiallahu anhu and stops him while he is on his camel with some friends. And she wanted to ask him something. So Umar radiallahu anhu stops and gets off the animal and he listens to her. When he's done with her, he tells his friends, do you know why I had to stop and listen to her? Like, I couldn't tell her, you know, meet me at my office tomorrow or something. Why I had to listen to her immediately? She is the one, when she spoke, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listened to her. Who am I that I shouldn't give her time? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had time for her, I have to give her time also. So, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, so the kind of divorce that she was given was a divorce that used to be common in the time of Jahiliyyah, in the time of ignorance. And it's not common in our language because we wouldn't use that kind of words. But the wording that was used, because it was used in the same way as Jahiliyyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed a way out of this divorce. So, yeah, the husband had to free a slave so that he could take his wife back. So the wife, she says, he is not able to do that. Means he doesn't have the means for that. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have to keep 60 fasts consecutively. So she tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's not able to do that either because he's old. It's going to be too much for him. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells her that give one wasq, it's a camel load of dates. And she says, he doesn't have that much also, where is he going to get that amount from? So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, okay, I'll give you a basket of dates. So you should give two baskets of dates, I'll help you with one basket. So she says, okay, I'll have the other basket, we'll sort it out from there and should distribute that. Just on that note, there was another Sahabi who did something where he broke his fast and he had to give out his penalty of the 60 fasts and whatever. And his breaking of the fast was because he had relations with his wife. And he goes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tells Nabi Sallam, this is what happened. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him, you need to fast 60 days. He said, I couldn't manage one. The one got broken. How am I going to do 60? So then Nabi Sallam says, okay, feed 60 people. So he says, Nabi Sallam tells him, feed 60 poor people. So he says, I don't have the means. Nabi Sallam gives him some dates. He says, what if I'm the poor person? I'm going to feed myself for 60 days. Subhanallah. So Nabi Sallam laughed at him also. Subhanallah. Anyway, in Surah Al-Munafiqun, so we can't do all the surahs, it's too much. So in Surah Munafiqun, there was a man whose name was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. He was a great munafiq. But Rasulullah had to be diplomatic. He couldn't openly tell everybody this is a munafiq. But it was quite obvious that this was the head of the munafiqeen. So in the expedition of Banu al-Mustalik, when Rasulullah went out, they fought at Banu al-Mustalik. At the end of the, after they fought, there was an Ansari and a Muhajir, means both Muslims, who started arguing with one another. So they were at the well, they had some argument, and it ended up into a fight. And when it became a fight, the person who was Muhajir, he called his friends who were also Muhajirin, then the other person called his friends who were Ansar. And now they started telling each other bad things and whatever. And in that, they used certain terms which was like from the time of Jahiliyyah, which was very hurtful to one another. So this was like very saddening for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that why would you start behaving this way? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and he calmed them down, he spoke to them. But Abdullah bin Ubay, he sees this as an opportunity to cause trouble. So he takes this opportunity, he tells the rest of the munafiqeen and the people of Medina, meaning the Ansar, he tells them, because remember, he is outwardly an Ansari also. So he tells them that, look, see what you guys have caused. You brought these, basically, you've brought these foreigners to your land, you've brought these outsiders to our place, you shared everything with them, you gave them everything, and see how they behave. See how they now call you names and they tell you things and whatever. So your kindness, look what it was repaid with. And he stirred up trouble. And by doing this, he like start igniting, you know, like fires in everyone's hearts, like making problems and whatever. So then, in all of his talk, he says that the ones who are honored will remove those who were disgraced. And he's referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a young boy whose name was Zaid, and he was there. Now this munafiq didn't realize that Zaid, being an honest Muslim, he was a very young boy, very, very young boy. He was about 10 years old, more or less. And he doesn't realize that this small kid is going to be, you know, who'll take this story out. Like he understood what the hint was for meant towards Rasulullah. So when he says his words, then he realizes, oh no, like this kid wasn't supposed to be here, you know. He wasn't supposed to hear what I said. So he like tries to explain himself and says, no, I didn't mean so whatever, I meant something else. And this child, this young Sahabi, he goes to Rasulullah and tells the whole story. This was happened. So Nabi hears. But the other people of the Ansar, they come and they take the part of Abdullah bin Ubay. Because remember, Abdullah bin Ubay, before the time of Rasulullah coming to Medina, he was about to be selected as the leader of Medina. And he was very bitter against Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that why did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam take his position, basically. Like, why did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam become in charge of Medina when he was supposed to be in charge of Medina? So that's where his hatred of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started. Now, when it became open and obvious that he is now obviously saying about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be taken out, and he wants to kill Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, get rid of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when it became obvious and became in front of everybody, Umar radiallahu anhu says, off with his head. Usual Umar radiallahu anhu style. Just give me the permission, let me chop his head off. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no. If I give you the permission, then the outsiders, meaning the kuffar, would say the Muslims are killing Muslims. Muslims are killing Muslims. Although everybody can see he's a munafiq. But that's to us who's on the inside knows he's a munafiq. The outsiders are just going to use it as bait, you know, for news. They're going to say, look, the Muslims are just killing each other. So he says, no, we can't. So Abdullah bin Ubay has a son or a stepson whose name was also Abdullah. And he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you give me the permission, I'll chop his head off. Give me the permission. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him no. Then Zayd radiallahu anhu, because this whole incident now turned against him, because the rest of the Ansar came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, no, but Abdullah bin Ubay is a good person among us, he's an honorable person among us, he's from a good family, etc., etc. And he couldn't have said that. Maybe the boy misheard him, maybe he misunderstood it, because it wasn't clear words. He never said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we're going to remove Muhammad or whatever. So Zayd radiallahu anhu is like really upset that, you know what, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not going to believe him, or the Muslims are going to call him a liar, those kind of stuff. So he goes into hiding. He doesn't come out of the house. He's like just hiding himself away. So then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gets wahi, and this is the whole surah. And everything, whatever the boy said, was exposed. Whatever the munafiq said was exposed, and Allah Subhanahu wa Taala brought it all in front of everybody. So, and this was one of the times where Allah Subhanahu wa Taala revealed ayat to cleanse somebody, to openly expose someone and purify somebody else, where to make it known to everybody that he was not a liar and he was actually speaking the truth. So this is a lesson for all of us, that whenever something is, you know, is a truth or it's something that's false, so then we have to choose between the two. If we speak the truth, even though it might be bitter at that moment, even though people might not believe you at that moment, you speak the truth and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do the exposing. You just have to speak the truth. You stick to your story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it known, even though at that moment, even though it takes a few days or a little while before it comes out, it will come out and you will be on the right because you spoke the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to always speak the truth. Then in Surah At-Talaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has three ayat. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now remember, the theme of Quran, all over the Quran, is about taqwa, having consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for them from every difficulty. So many times throughout our life is like a roller coaster, right? Sometimes we're on top, sometimes at the bottom. If it was flat like a train track, we wouldn't have made shukr for anything. Neither would we have made sabr for anything, because it would have been just normal. Every day is the same. Sometimes we're on top, sometimes we're at the bottom. When you're on top, you realize what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, you make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're at the bottom, you make sabr and you're patient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that time, you still acknowledge the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with more. Now, sometimes we are at the bottom where it seems like there's no way out for us. It seems like we stuck, you know, and there's no other avenues for us. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهُ, whoever has the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't, because their avenues have become closed, fall into sin. They don't do wrong because they don't see any other way out. I can't buy a house in a halal way, so I'm going to buy it in a haram way. I can't do whatever it is, whether it's buying a car or whatever. We don't have to buy the most expensive car. We don't have to buy a brand new car. We can make do with something lesser or something cheaper, but stick to what is halal instead of, because what are people going to say? Many times this happens. What's people going to say if I'm driving a small car, if I'm driving a certain type of thing, or if I'm wearing certain type of clothes? As long as it's halal, you don't have to worry about what people are going to say. People are going to say things, whether you bought the brand new one or not. If you bought the brand new one, they might even say, oh, maybe you stole money. You know what I mean? Seriously, people say things whatever you do. They're going to say things no matter what you say, whatever you do. So don't worry about what people say. Worry about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge you on. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Have that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will make a means out for you, no matter what the situation. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you rizq from such places that you cannot imagine. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever has trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do a way out for us, even though it looks impossible. Now, this is why a Muslim cannot commit suicide. If a Muslim committed suicide, is he a Muslim? I'm not saying that they are kafir, but I'm saying, how much of iman do you have left if you got to that stage of killing yourself? Because the lack of consciousness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for me, the lack of knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for me, is what causes you to do this. But if you have the consciousness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open something, no matter how impossible it seems, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for that person when they have the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they have the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they leave it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah baligh amri qad ja'ala Allahu li kulli shay'in qadra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you reach your destination, your end result that you want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let you get to that. Then later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Whoever has fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make every situation of his easy for him. Whatever he is going through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for him. Not only is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to make a way out for you, but he's also going to make it easy for you. مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Then, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعَذِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, whoever has fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to wipe out all your sins. So, he's going to make it easy for you, he's going to give you rizq, he's going to make other avenues open for you, and he's going to wipe out your sins. وَيُعَذِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا, and he's going to multiply your good deeds. Five promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made. He's going to multiply your good deeds. So you did good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to double it for whatever it was, or more than double. Well, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just says multiply. Multiply by however much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. So let us have and make an effort that we can start getting consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching us and being there with us at all times. The whole purpose of fasting is to grow taqwa. That even if nobody is watching me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me, and we're doing it to obey Him only. So the whole exercise of fasting, which we are almost at the end of, should be there to grow our taqwa. One of the other ways of getting taqwa is consciousness of our eyes, watching what our eyes look at. When we look at everything and look at haram, then it's a very easy way of shaitan diverting us and taking us away from what we're supposed to be doing. But if we are conscious of what we look at, then inshallah very easily we will get the sweetness of iman and the sweetness of taqwa. We will find taqwa when we are conscious of what we look at. And looking at doesn't only mean those on the street and in the shops and in the mall, wherever. Looking includes on that friend of yours in your pocket. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah.